Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Am I on? Is that good? All right, make sure. Never know what you guys are up to back there. And we got finally a lady back there, so it'd be good today. Luke chapter 12. Do pray for Pastor and our church members who are in the Dominican Republic today. And keep your prayers going. And they're doing a great job. And pray for services today as they're already probably about done. They're an hour ahead of us. So anyway, Luke chapter 12. We're going to talk about Thou Fool. And once a guy who wrote a great saying, he was part of the A-team, he said, "I pity the fool." Anyway, that was funny. Good old Mr. T, right? But thou fool. Notice what the scripture says in verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak unto my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And we're going to finish the rest of this here in a moment, but kind of give you the context. Jesus is speaking, and predominantly he has a great multitude. If you go back to the first three verses, you'll see there's a great multitude. Matter of fact, the Bible says that there were so many people that they were actually trampling on each other. And so really, if you read the story on down, that the Bible tells us that he kind of pulled his disciples away and he began to teach them. He began to teach them as he always did. And in the middle of all this teaching, in the middle of this big crowd, somebody just interrupts the Lord Jesus Christ during this great time and has a question. And in this day, this wasn't uncommon, because a lot of times you see in the scripture where they would call Jesus rabbi. And that rabbi in that day was really an arbitrator also. And so it was not uncommon for the town people to say to the rabbi, "Hey, we have a dispute. Would you settle it?" And of course, we know that one says here that my brother will not divide the inheritance with me. So this one that is speaking to Jesus must be the younger, and the one who has the inheritance must be the older, because that's the way it was divided up in those days. They trusted the older sibling with the inheritance, and then when the time came that he would divide it up. But it's just weird how this man interrupts Jesus in the middle of all of his teaching and the middle of all this going on. Now notice on down verse 14. By the way, at the end of this, that guy must have felt about that tall for interrupting the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 14. "And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth." Somebody say amen right there. God is not going to call you to heaven because of what you live in. God's not going to save your soul if you're living on the street. God saves the soul on the merit of faith and grace alone, and that's it. And God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't care if you own a big house, a small house, a nice car, or a bad car. God doesn't care what you possess in His life. And here's what we see in verse 16. He says in the parable, "He spake a parable unto them, saying..." Now look at what the scripture says. It says unto them. So now the Lord Jesus is not just speaking to this man, because it would have said unto him, but it said unto them. So he's going to address the whole congregation. By the way, this is going to be good, by the way, because this young man wanted to interrupt the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God, the Lord says, "Well, let me just tell everybody about this." So notice what happens here in verse 17. "And he thought within himself..." Verse 16. "And he spake a parable unto them, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Verse 17 says, "And he thought within himself, saying..." Now notice the personal pronouns. "What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19, "And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Boy, isn't that an amazing statement, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe Mark Twain said this. I thought it was pretty good. He once defined civilization as a limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessities. Somebody said, if you don't believe that, look how many storage units there are around the DFW area. We say, well, we don't have enough room for all of our junk in our house. We're going to buy, and of course, there's some of you in here in this room that own those, so you're glad that people do that. But we have stuff after stuff after stuff after stuff. We saw a miracle this year as a staff. Our pastor let things go. I mean, I thought heaven came down and glory filled my... I thought the rapture was going to happen. We were in the back and pastor said, throw that away. Me and Chad looked at each other like, he's gone. He's sick. He has... I mean, I wanted to make sure he was all right. But, you know, it's amazing in the world we live in today is that we just have all this stuff. And sometimes we judge our success on stuff. We say, man, if somebody lives in a nice house, has a nice car, that they must be successful. And God says, no, that's not right. See, God says that success is built on living a life for Him. Now, whether you have a nice house and have nice cars and nice things and you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's pleasing to Him. And whether you live in a smaller house and drive not so nice of a car, a lot of you, the reason you have those cars is it helps your prayer life. Lord, please, let this thing just make it to church today. Amen? There's some of you driving, I'm going, wow, they made it. Hallelujah. You know? And that car goes, whew, I got a little time to rest before she gets back out here again. Cranks me up and takes me home, you know? And that's okay. But I want to say today is we're going to talk about the fool. You know, there's two things about fools. Number one, they don't listen. Number two, they don't learn. Don't be a fool. The Bible has a lot to say about fools. Matter of fact, if you want to go home and study fools, go home and read the book of Proverbs. Proverbs gives us why we shouldn't be fools, why we should trust in God's wisdom and not in our own. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, and you know this one, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't tell me what to do, folks. I'm telling you, we have that in our society today. Who do you think you are for telling me what I should do? Thou fool. Lord, help us to listen to our parents when we're young. Help us to listen to our pastor and our Sunday school teachers and people that God puts in rule over us. Why? Because we learn from them. I sat at the feet, and he's here this morning. Me and some of the boys in the church sat at the feet of a great man yesterday, and that's Brother Minnick. And I know he always says, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. Man, I love going to see him because I learn from him. Every time we go over there, he preaches to us. And I write her down. And some of y'all don't know this, but some of the sermons I preached have come from him. His idea. I mean, just, I love learning from other people. Who would I be that, here's a man who's been in the ministry longer than I've been alive, and go over there and, well, he thinks that's the way it is. That's the way it used to be. No, I'm telling you, I listen to Brother Minnick. And we had some guys with us yesterday that gleaned a lot from a man of God that has been there, done that, and wrote the book and got the t-shirt to show for. And he wears it all the time. And you know, and I thank God, help us that if we go before people who have been through these things that we're going through in our life and we say, oh, I'm not going to listen and learn from that, well, you're a fool. I've had the interns with me this week. I said, I'm going to tell you exactly, you're going to learn a lot from me. And I'm not bragging because I'm going to tell you what not to do. I don't know what to do yet, but I know what not to do. Y'all are going to learn what not to do. And of course, they laughed at me. I said, I can write a book on that. Don't do that. And then later on in life, when you do that, you're going to be reminded, I told you not to. It's kind of like our kids, right? Don't touch that. It's hot. This? Yep. Now your hands burn. But we're the same way as Christians, aren't we? Preacher gets up and preaches a good message, says, man, don't do that. We go and we do it. We're like, well, we messed up. Yeah, don't listen. Proverbs 1:32 says, from the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin, But among the righteous there is favor. Let me say that again. Fools make a mock at sin. Hello, have you watched TV lately? There's a lot of foolishness in this world today. People mock at sin. But I want to look at this story. I want you to notice what's happening here in the story. And I'll give you three things this morning. Number one, a fool's life is one of, number one, wanting. Wanting. Verses 15 and 16 tell us that. Notice what it says in verses 15 and 16. It says, and he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, what is covetousness? It is greediness. Now, I love this definition. Greedy desire to have more. It's like sitting with a bucket of Bluebell ice cream and thinking about the next pint. You know, we are such greedy people in this world today. And we can thank credit cards and loans and all those things for that because we can buy outside of our means nowadays. But we must be careful that we don't have that greedy desire. Why? Because I want to tell you one thing, that the devil will fulfill that. The devil loves greedy people. Why? Because he'll keep feeding them. He'll keep giving them. Just as you ever seen an old cartoon where they put the carrot in front of the donkey? Hello, don't be the donkey. Don't be a fool. Why? Because he's never going to catch up to that. He's never going to obtain that carrot. Why? Because it's always in front of him. It's never obtainable. And Satan, if he can keep you searching, if he can keep you going after riches and greed and covetousness in your life, he knows that you will not focus your attention on God, the provider of all. I'm telling you what, we live in a world today where we want to climb that ladder quicker than ever before. I was told this as a young child, don't ever expect when you first get married to have the things that your parents and your grandparents have. Because they worked hard to attain those things. Me and Donya, it's just like pastors tell us all the time, when we first got married, we lived in a single wide trailer. Power to the people that live in trailers. You didn't like where you live? You hook it up and you move it. It was a blessed life. You didn't jump around too much in there because the floor would fall in. You rats came in. You've seen the floods came. Water came up, whatever that song was. Well, the rats came in and we went out. And that was the only time we ever owned cats was when we lived in trailers. And, you know, we didn't make a lot of money when we first got married. And just here in the last few years, we actually bought a house. Hallelujah. But you know what? My parents worked hard. And my grandparents worked hard for what they had. They didn't have it immediately. But today, because of the society we live in, it's like you get married, get your job, and you need everything that your parents have. You know what? You may have to drive a car that steers this way. Go see Brother Kevin. He'll fix that, get it aligned for you. You know, there's going to be times in your life, but listen to me. The devil will whisper to you and say, hey, you shouldn't have to be driving this. You should be driving a brand new car. You shouldn't have that small house. You should have that house like your parents have. You should have this and you should have this. But listen to me. God says that we ought to work for these things, that we ought to put sweat equity into these things and not put it on our credit cards and not try to attain these things too quick. Why? Because you will get your attention off of God. And you'll be a wanting person. And God says if you're a wanting person, you are a fool. And there again, Mr. T said he pities the fool. Listen this morning. Those who are in wanting will never focus their attention on the Lord. Because their eye is set on something they can never obtain. You want to know why Hollywood and all these people that are rich are so miserable? By the way, have you ever do this little study? This is an interesting little study. Is that study people who have won the lottery. And then tell me the people that are still married and still have all that riches. It's only like 2% of them. You know why? Because they're greedy. They think scratching a card and getting it real quick is the... let me get on this real quick. You ever want to see a good family fight? Let somebody die who has an inheritance and watch the family fight over it. I'm going to spend every dime I have, Shelby, sorry, but I'm going to spend it all. You ain't getting nothing. You work for it. Hello? I'll give enough you bury me with, and I'll pay my bills off, and then good luck to you. You get your own insurance policy. Hello? I'm just kidding somewhat, but I'm telling you, is that I've seen more squabbles and family disputes. I've seen families who can't talk to each other today because so-and-so died. I can tell you family instance. I ain't going to say names, but anyway. A certain person died and they had a little trinket and it went missing. The family just split over a little trinket that somebody had in our family. God help us. Here's this young man says, give me my inheritance. Lord, make him give me my... Doesn't he sound like a little two-year-old? Make him give me my inheritance right now. And the Lord says, wait a minute, this is not what you need. What you need is a heart transplant. What you need is to not focus on what you're wanting and all of the wants that we have in our life and why we never obtain it. Folks, I'll tell you what, is that James tells us that what is this life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. Amen. Jesus reminded this young man, listen, it's not in covetousness. Read on down, if you will, verse 15 again. He says, beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spoke a parable. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. You see, this story, we're not talking about that in this parable, this was not a poor man who had a good crop. This was a man who already had everything and wanted more. Just that constant urge of wanting. And let me say that if you're in the pursuit of riches this morning, the direction you're going is the direction that is opposite to God. See, you'd feel so much better about yourself if you worked for it and if God blessed you with it. People who don't want to work and sit on the side of the road every day and play cards and dominoes and whatever else, they want to sit inside and play video games and watch TV, their life worth is about that much. You know what? I always feel good when I go home and I know I put in a good day's work. I feel better when I get that paycheck in my envelope or my wife gets it. I don't ever see it. And I'm always proud when I see it go into our account. You know why? Because I'm like, thank you, Lord. I worked hard to try to do that. And by the way, what I worked hard for, and then God blessed me above that, didn't He? Some of you guys and ladies, you go to work early in the morning, you go outside and you work, and you maybe whatever job you have indoors, whatever you're doing, you work hard, and at the end of that you get a paycheck. And listen, you feel good about what you've done. You don't feel like you've robbed anybody. You feel like God has blessed you. And you lay your head on that pillow at night knowing that you're taking care of your family and your children. Listen, that's a good feeling. But we live in a world today that says, you know what, I think I'm going to sit home. And I'm going to see how many babies I can have and you'd give me. Hello, that sounds rude, doesn't it? But isn't that true? Or I'll go down to the abortion clinic and let you government pay for that too. Hello. We're so wanting. Number two, we see the wasting. A life of a fool is not only a life of wanting, but it's a life of wasting. I've read this verse 17 many times and verse 18, and it hit me a couple weeks ago when I was reading this, and it says in verse 17, and he thought within himself, boy, by the way, that's dangerous. It's better to think out loud so your wife can hear you, so she can tell you how dumb you really are. Hello? I'll start thinking something in my mind. I go, that's a pretty good idea. I'll go share it with my wife. She go, and I know she don't have to say anything anymore. Amen, guys. You know the. And then you go, no, never mind. That was stupid. And she goes, and I know that's what she's feeling. Yes. But here's this guy thinking within himself. Notice what he says. He says, you know what? What I shall do is because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He says, and this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and goods, fruits and my goods. Now, I'm not that smart of a guy, but I can tell you one thing that doesn't make sense. If you already have barns that are full, why in the world would you tear them down and build a bigger one? Now, common sense tells me that if I had a barn that's full, I'd just build another one. I wouldn't tear down the one that I have. You know what? When people are in a state of foolishness, they don't think right. I mean, they don't care about wasting and wasting. By the way, we ought to be careful of wasting God's money and God's talent and God's time. We're so good at God blesses us with something and we just waste it away. Listen, some of you have talent to sing in the choir, but yet you're not in the choir. I'm preaching today. Hello? And I'm the choir director, so you're going to get it. You ought to be in the choir. You ought to be singing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have the gift of putting up with kids. You ought to be helping in the nursery and working in children's church and master club. Don't waste what you have. Don't be a fool.
God bless you with that. And listen, some of you have the gift of patience.
I don't. I ain't going to lie. Light turns green, go. That doesn't mean you get a 5-second buffer, as Pastor said. I'm not that kind. Amen? But you know what? Some of you are so patient with people. I love watching people that are patient with other people. You know what? We need you. This church needs you. The Lord needs you today. You ought to find your place and not waste what God has given you. You see what happens here is that in verse 30, if you skip over to verse 33, here's what the Lord told him to do. He says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. He said, here's what you ought to do. He says, you have a barn full of what stuff you'll never need. Matter of fact, it'll spoil before. We were going through our refrigerator yesterday throwing out stuff that was spoiled. That stuff been sitting in there so long it shook my hand. And all of us, we know what we do. We have to open it. We see it. We see the green and the black. Well, I wonder what that... Why do we have to do that? It's kind of like when we eat a Pop-Tart that's scalding hot. We've got to take a second bite. We know that it's still hot, but we're going to keep trying, right? And filling in your tongue, come back later. But we're wasteful people. And listen, if we're wasteful, the Bible tells us that we are a fool. Jesus said that you ought to sell what you have and give alms. And that giving alms was their welfare system of that day. You ought to give it to the poor. Matter of fact, you ought to give it to your church. If you have extra, God's blessed you with, you ought to find somebody who needs it. And by the way, I've been beneficiary of that many times. And I'm very thankful for that. There's been times, Mama, I can tell you that most of my suits when I first got in the ministry came from Goodwill. Right? And when I first got started, I didn't have money to get them tailored. So some of my sleeves would be, you know, like this, which was fine. You didn't get to see my hand for a while. But then I grew into them, some of my pants, you know, were long, or maybe they're a little short or something like that. But that was okay. You know why? Because it was amazing how people say, hey, is that all you have? You know, they say it a little more tactful than that. Like, is that all you got? I'm like, yeah, this is all I got. Had like, you know, a couple coats that I got from Goodwill or something like that. And you know what? People go buy me a suit. I'm like, man, God's good, isn't he? See, I could have went and got a suit, but I'd had to pay for it with 27% interest. That's wasteful. Now, I know there's things you got to have, cars and houses and things like that. And I know we have to save up, you know, and things like that. I'm not against having savings. I'm not against having, policies and things like that. Trust me, I have those things. And you ought to prepare for things if they do happen. But I'm going to say is that the rest of this chapter, Jesus said, take no thought. I'll take care of you. Don't be a waster. Let me give you the last thing today. Is there is weeping. A life of a fool ends in weeping. Notice verse 20, if you will. Verse 20 says, but God said unto him, thou fool. Now notice that this must have been nighttime, because he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, listen, and then he goes on to say, he said, then where's all this stuff going to go? In other words, it doesn't matter in your life what you have as possessions. It matters who possesses you. It matters if your possession is Jesus Christ. And it matters not what you have. And people have always said this, and it's so true. You don't see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. You can't take it with you. Now, God's not against us having things, by the way. If he blesses you with things, praise the Lord. When you see somebody driving with a nice car, you ought to say, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not against those things. But I am against when people are always in pursuit of those things and they leave God. We're wasteful with God's talents and time and treasures of our life. To live without God is to die without God. Here's what Matthew 5:22 says. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, which just means senseless or empty, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
You see, the Bible tells us that, matter of fact, he tells us this also in Matthew 25, 30. He says, "And he cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, if you're a fool this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you are a fool. Why? Because you have not possessed the greatest possession that you can possess in this world. Jesus Christ came and died on the rugged cross for your sin and my sin. He died so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. But I want to tell you, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It makes us feel better about our lostness if we just say, well, listen, there is no God. There is no judgment. But as much as you can say there is no God, there is no judgment, it doesn't change that there is a God and that there is a judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Listen this morning, I'm not trying to scare anybody today, but if you're here lost, you are a fool this morning. You are a fool. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He gave His life for you, and He's willing this morning to forgive every sin that you've ever committed and every sin that you will commit. He is willing to forgive your unbelief that you rejected God and that you rejected the Son of God. He's willing to forgive you this morning. And if you don't accept that, you are a fool. Somebody came in here this morning and said to Brother Billy, said, "Brother Billy, I'll pay every debt you have off right now." Brother Billy says, "No, I'm good." Everyone in here would go, "He is a fool. He is a fool." And then everybody would say, "Well, what about us?" Right? But if you reject the Son of God, you are a fool. You say, "You calling me a fool?" You better believe it. Because the Scripture calls you a fool. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you're saved. You are foolish this morning. Listen, you can try to obtain a great job and great riches and great wealth and all these things, and you'll still die and go to hell. But you can live for God. You can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And listen, you may have those nice things in life. You may not have those nice things in life. But when you die, and when the preacher's preaching your funeral, he can say, "He's saved, born again, and now he's in the presence of God Almighty." I don't know about you, but that's what I want to hear. Put my casket up here this morning. Or my glad bag. I told my wife, just put me in a bag. My casket's up here today, and Brother Crawford was preaching the funeral. I don't think he would ever say, "Man, he had everything in this life could offer." But I think he would say, hopefully he would say, "I've put a little money back to pay him off for this. Man, I had much in this life, but this life was only temporal to him. Now he has it all." You see, there's a reason why God made heaven so beautiful. There's a reason why He made the streets of gold and the gates of jasper and the walls of pearl and all these things, and He gave us a mansion in heaven. It's because that's eternal. Here is just temporal, folks. Listen, don't always be in pursuit of wanting this and wanting that. Listen, if there's anybody guilty of that, I am too. I catch myself sometimes, and I look at things, and I here lately I've been looking at boats. Brother Chad can tell you that. And man, I'm going through all the boats. I'm like, man, I need that one right there. Center console, got a 90 horse on the back. And then I'm reminded, Brody needs braces. Shelby's in college. And then I pout for a minute. Can't have my boat yet. And then I dawns on me, I'm like, wait a minute, Pastor has a boat. Don't cost me anything. He lets me borrow his truck when I want to use. I use his fishing. I've got it made. He just got a trolling motor put on his boat just for me. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I would be a fool to go buy a boat right now. I'll wait for his tear up. But, you know, sometimes I look at my old truck and I'm like, man, it's got, you know, 130,000 miles on it, which ain't much. I'll be like, man, I need a new truck. Then again, Brody needs braces and he needs dental surgery. Of course, my kid can't just have, just need braces. No, he's got to have a tooth pulled down that's growing this way. Shelby's in college. Christian school bill, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, my Ford drive's perfect. I mean, it does. I get in that thing, the air conditioning works. Everybody say amen right there. Matter of fact, it's a good day to preach on hell, isn't it?
Somebody posted this on Facebook, and I thought it was great. I told my Sunday school class this morning, somebody said, God, whatever you're baking, it's done. Amen. But I want to tell you, if you die without Jesus Christ, the rest of your life will be weeping. Amen. I don't know about you, but in 1995, I began to join the fire department, went through fire training and all those things. And I've been in many house fires before, and I'm very thankful for the outfits we have. Because I've gotten burned a couple times, and I want to tell you what, is that hell is real, folks. There's not enough preaching on it, I don't think. You know why? Because hell was not intended for none of us. But you know what? If you're lost and you don't trust Jesus Christ and you die as a fool, guess what you're going to do? You're going to burn in hell for eternity. See, today, if we get burned, what do? We go find water real quick and we pour on it. Why? Because we want to stop that burning. We go get that burn cream. And some of you crazy folks, listen to your mama, put mayonnaise on there. It's bad for it. And we'll put butter on it and all that. Butter cooks, people. Don't put something on your skin that cooks. Don't put butter on it. It's bad. You may be able to lick your hand later. That's about all you're going to get from that. It's not going to heal you. You know, we put different things in there to try to stop that burning. But listen, for eternity, you will spend eternity burning and tumbling and burning and gnashing of teeth and weeping. Why? Because here on this earth, you may have had all the nice things. You may have had all the designer wear. You may have had the nicest things in the world because you pursued it and you forsook your family to pursue your dream. And you forsook God to pursue your dream. You forsook the Word of God to pursue your dream. But at the end of your journey, you're going to be like everybody else. You're not going to stand before God and go, look at what all I got. God's going to go, yeah, you got all that, but you ain't got something inside of your soul. You see, He said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. See, the soul's only satisfied by one thing and one person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The flesh, it can be pleased with anything that is temporal. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I remind you, time is running out. Amen. I almost hear the trumpet sound. It's that close. I believe Jesus is soon to appear, my friend. And listen, He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for you. And He died on the cross to say, I love you. I love you so much, I'm willing to give my life so you don't have to go to a devil's hell. I'm willing to give my precious Son and His precious blood so you don't have to die and go to hell and be a fool the rest of your life. Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of you. Let me say this and I'm done. If I could tell each one of you tonight, or this morning, that tonight none of you will make it to church, your life will be ended. What comes into your mind right now? Number one, is it, I don't know if I'm saved or not. If that's the first thought that comes into your mind, if you were to think that you were going to die today, why don't you come down front? We have people in our church that take this right here, not my opinion, not Brother Cox's opinion, not pastor's opinion, but the Bible. And we show you how you can be saved. If you're rich in the world, you're poor with God. If you're rich in God, you're poor in the world. Listen, I want to be rich in God this morning. If I told you this morning, hey, listen, you're not going to live to see tomorrow. If the first thing in your mind is, I want to do this. I want to do this for God. Why don't you come down front and do it? And say, God, I want to do this. I want to join the choir. I want to be a blessing maybe to somebody this morning. You know, we used to have a missionary. Every time he came to our church, he worked here in the States. Every time he came to our church, he'd ask for a computer. I was like, man, this guy goes through computers like crazy. I finally went to his house one day. He lived in Georgia. I finally went to his house, stopped in there one day. That man had computers everywhere. I don't know what he did with them. I was like, man, we need a computer. He had like 12 of them. I don't know what I think he was fixing them up and selling them or something like that. I don't know what he was doing, but I thought it was funny. I was like, you know, if God's blessed you with something more, be a blessing to somebody else. There's people all around us who are hurting.
We have people call the church every week. Hey, can y'all help us? And you know what? I'm so glad when we can help people. And it opens up opportunity for us to witness to them. But listen this morning. If the first thought that came into your mind, you say, preacher, if I was to die today, I don't think I'd spend eternity in heaven with God. Why don't you come get that settled this morning? Man, what a good day that would be from you going to a fool to a person who is wise. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray and then we'll have a verse of invitation. Father, we love you. Lord, this morning I pray, God, that you would do a working in this auditorium. Do a working in hearts today. God, please, I'm begging you this morning. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know your Son, Jesus Christ, is their personal Savior, Lord, they don't know where they'd spend eternity. God, would today be the day of salvation? Give them courage. Give them faith today. Lord, to just come down front and get this thing settled. Lord, for your folks today, I pray, God, that we not be those people who are wanting and wasting our life away. But God, we're ones who are spending our life, as Paul said, and to be spent for you. God, use us now. Lord, bless us. But God, speak to hearts. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going